I take your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Proverbs, chapter 19. The book of Proverbs, chapter 19. We'll find the book of Proverbs a very interesting book. It is a book that gives us details of so many things of life, practical instruction, and how to conduct ourselves, and how to do things, and how to act under pressure, and how to just responses. And so Proverbs has a lot to say. I believe that every Christian ought to read the book of Proverbs every year, sometime in the year. Just sit down and read through these chapters. It doesn't take long. And just hear and to soak in the good instruction that is given to us out of this book. And in the New Testament, it's good to read through the book of James. These are practical books for us as a believer. And so tonight I want us to consider, I guess if I was going to call it, give it a title, it's found here in chapter number 19 and verse number 20. The scripture says, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." I guess if we're going to put a title to it, we'd just put receive instruction. From the time that we are born until the time that we die, there is multitudes of many different things given to us. Many lessons are taught to us. Many things are brought before us. But the writer of Proverbs tells us here that we are to hear counsel and receive instruction. Now that does never go out of that doesn't go out of fashion. It doesn't matter how long we've been on this world. Doesn't matter how young or old we are. It's important that we do these things. It's important that we hear counsel. It's always good to have somebody else to give us some counsel. We don't have all the answers. We don't have everything laid out before us. And the will of God sometimes is just not that easy to find. And we need to have counsel from someone. And then we need to receive the instruction that is given to us. And the Bible says here that the last part of the verse says that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end or latter days. And so this thing of going off to college is important. Our Christian education is important. The school that we have here and have had for these many years, it's important that we give counsel to these young people. It's important that we give them instruction, but it doesn't stop at the end of grade 12. It doesn't stop at the end of 4 years or 8 years or however, how long we're in college, to whatever degree we're looking for, whatever thing we're going after. That receiving instruction and having counsel given to us does never end as long as we're breathing, as long as we're living. The book of Proverbs has a lot about instruction. And I want us to just read a few of the verses here in Proverbs. We'll not read all of them because it's got a lot in it about instruction. But look back in chapter number 1, and we'll look at verse number 2. We know that Solomon is the writer. He's the author through the Holy Spirit that has given us these words. Verse number 2 and verse 3 says, "To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice and judgment and equity." So here, right at the very first of the book of Proverbs, Solomon tells us that we are to have instruction given to us. We are to have those things given and to perceive the words of understanding and have justice and wisdom and understanding in our life. Look in verse number 7 and verse number 8 of that same chapter. "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." Verse 9 says, "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother." And so here we find Solomon again tells us instruction is very important in our personal walk with the Lord, and it comes through our family. It comes through believers that know the Lord Jesus Christ. And verse number 13 of chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 13 says, "Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her, for she is thy life." Instruction. For someone to tell us and someone to teach us in the ways of life. Look in chapter number 6 and verse number 23. Chapter 6, verse 23 says, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." And so here the Bible tells us that instruction will reprove us. It'll correct us. It'll help us know some things. It'll help us learn some things. It'll help us correct some things if we receive counsel and the instruction that is given to us. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse number 10. "Receive my instruction, not silver, and knowledge rather than gold." So here the writer, Solomon, says that that instruction is better than silver, and knowledge is better than choice gold. And so we're talking about learning. We're talking about this thing of bringing things to our knowledge to help us. Verse 33 of chapter 8 says, "Hear instruction and be wise, and refuse it not." So if the Bible tells us not to refuse it, that means we could refuse it. But he tells us that we are to receive this instruction, be wise, and not to refuse it. And then the last verses I'll look at tonight here in this, Proverbs chapter 9, verse number 9. And we'll read down through verse 11. "Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be yet wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. For the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased." So here we find, have instruction, and the wise will become wiser, and the person that will do the teaching is a just person, and we are to receive that with thanksgiving of what God has given to us. So tonight I want us just to key in on this thing of what Megan's going to be facing, and some things that we as a church, we also face that with her. And of course, as a family, we're giving Megan a going away fellowship. I tried to say party, but we're not having a party. It's not that joyous, is it? And a party has a lot of fun and things, but we're just having a fellowship tonight, sort of expressing our gratitude and our thankfulness that the Lord has put her in a place that she can go learn and have instruction given to her, and going off to college unbelievably so soon. Doesn't seem too long that in school and going through the grades of school, and all of a sudden we get to the point and we find that our children have gone through that process of school and they've graduated, and now there's things they have to do on farther beyond what we were even thinking about. And so, Megan, you're entering a new phase of your life, and it'll change, and life will change, and it'll not be the same. And up to this point, you've been under the protection of Mom and Dad, and that's great. And thank the Lord for for a good family. And now there's going to be situations that you're going to have to make up your own mind. There's going to be situations that you're going to have to say yes or no, and there's going to be things that you're going to have to deal with all by yourself, and it's not easy. It becomes difficult. It becomes hard. And just remember now, when you get there in Pensacola, there's a whole lot just like you. There's a whole lot going down there, first-time students, and they're going to be facing the same struggles and the same thing. But I want us to think tonight, and I'm not going to take long. Famous last words, I know. I got 7 points, and somebody says, "No way you can be short with 7 points." Oh, yes, you can. 7 things we want to look at tonight about this receiving instruction and what it does for us and how it helps us. Now, I'm going to refrain from making a lot of personal reference because I know it's difficult. I know it's hard. Because if I say too much, if I think too much, I'll start crying with everybody. And when I get started, it's really bad. I told him in prayer group tonight, Larry said he just needed a place to get away from everybody. I said, "Yeah, I know. He needs a place to go cry by himself." That's what it is. But that's a difficult time. I remember when I left for college, it was hard. But it was easier, I guess, for me because I was married. And by the way, I've been married. I'm not going to tell you how many days or hours, but it's been a while. I guess I could figure it out, but I'll not do that. Been a whole lot of years, I'll put it that way. But when we left Crittenden County, which is about 40 miles from here. And I went to a college that I never had visited. I didn't have the privilege of going and looking at things. I just I knew where God wanted me. And so I didn't see no sense in going down there and look around to know I was going to go anyway. And so we just left on one day of the week, and we took off. And we did pretty good for a while, and then all of a sudden, Sharon and I both started crying. And we didn't have anybody but us. And really didn't want anybody but us right then. And I probably then could have told you how many days and hours I'd been married. But we go off, and we go to college, and that... We got over that. We'd come home every once in a while, and it became easier and easier and easier to leave every time we come back. And that's the process that we go through. But then a few years later, our daughter goes off to college. That's different. It's okay for me to go. I can leave my mom and dad, and I don't know what they're doing, and that's the way it is, but... All of a sudden, I'm leaving my daughter. And Sharon and I did pretty well until we heard some stupid song on the radio about little girls, and that was it. And I probably from about, I don't know where we were in Missouri, somewhere before St. Louis to almost home, we just boo-hooed all the way here. And that's good. That's good. It's not too good while you're doing it, but it's good. And then we got everything pretty well settled in. I'm just telling you, Larry, what's going to happen now. Because y'all got a 10-hour drive coming back. And we're doing pretty good until we got home, walked in the door, looked at each other, and here we go again. Didn't say a word, just cried. And that is the way of life. And many situations come. But as I look at these things about receiving instruction, the first thing, a large part of our instruction, is supervision. Now, nobody likes to be told what to do. But, Megan, you're going to be told what to do. You think Mom and Dad have told you a lot to do? You're going to be told what to do. The supervision is a large part of our instruction. It's a large part of our growing. It's a large part of our becoming adult or mature because we are able to take what somebody else tells us. I may not like it, but I've got to do it. I may not want to do it, but I've got to do it because I'm here and I don't have anywhere to go. I don't have anybody to talk to. Mom and Dad's not going to come and bail me out. I've got to take my supervision. And that's a big part of it, of people telling us. You'll find out they'll tell you. They'll tell you when to eat. They'll tell you when you sleep, when to get up, and all those things because you're on schedule. And that's supervision, and it's also structure. So you have supervision, you have structure. A person needs to, I believe all of us tonight, it would be good for us to have some structure in our life, to have some ABCs and some ways of doing things and just doing it according, I guess the best way to put it is just to have order in our life, to know that there's things that we have to do and our supervision has come and now we're structuring our lives. We're structuring our personal being to follow that supervision and just to have order in our life. And so tonight... We have to have that. I have to have instruction. I have to have structure in my life. If we don't have, then we're just left to ourselves. And before long, and sometimes when we get out of order, we find out, oh, I should have done this yesterday, or I should have done that day before yesterday, and all of a sudden we're caught. A lot of times, kids in high school, they don't have that order. Looking at some students here tonight, they don't have that structure in their personal life, and all of a sudden, somebody I saw the other day out here in the gym, they burned that pencil up before the bell rang that morning. I said, "What are you doing?" I got to get my Spanish. Well, the reason I was in such a hurry because when the bell rang, Spanish is on, and didn't have the day to do it. Didn't have a lot of time, but they had to get it right then. You know what's wrong? Didn't have enough order in their life to get it beforehand. And we all have that that problem. So there's supervision and there's structure. Number three, I told you it wouldn't take long to go through these seven things. Number three is our studies. We have to study. The Bible says to study to show ourselves approved unto God. Well, you're going to study to show yourselves approved unto your teachers and your professors, and you're going to have to do those. I don't know what you'll be taking the first year. I'm sure you have some things already figured out what's there, but the studies that you're going to have in these next few months are going to make Grace Baptist look like playtime. It really, and as you go on, it's going to get more difficult. And again, nothing wrong with that. That's part of our process of growing. It's part of our process of becoming an adult. As hard as it is for Larry and Teresa or for us or for you all to let our children go, we don't want them to stay little children because that means there'd be a deficiency. That means there'd be something wrong. And that means that they'd be areas that they wasn't growing as they should. But when it comes down to going off to college, they're going to have some studying to do. Now, I know some folks go to college to party, and that's all they do, party from the time they get there, the time they leave, they get the degree, and they don't even know how to do anything. I don't think that happens at Pensacola. I've just sort of got a strange suspicion that does not happen there. Some folks go to a party, and they don't stay long. But you're going to have to study. You're going to have to regulate your time, and you're going to have to make your time useful and be busy in these things. And in your studies, sometimes you'll have to give up some things you want to do because there's some things you've got to do. That's that supervision. You see, the greatest supervisor that you'll ever have, Megan, is yourself. When you learn self-discipline, you do it because it's right. You do it because you have to. You do it not because somebody's making you, but you do it because it's just what needs to be done. And so when you get to college, you're going to have some self-discipline and supervision from others. Instruction, receive that instruction, do good with it. And then right here in the middle of all these seven things, I put the word spirituality. When you get to college, you're going to find that there are some that are not as spiritual as they ought to be. You're going to find some that will disappoint you. And you'll say, why are they here? You may not even know who they are, but you can watch their actions and you'll say, why in the world did they come here? Don't let that deter you. Don't let that stop you. Now, on the other side of that, you're going to find some people that maybe are more spiritual than you. And those are the people you migrate to. Those are the folks that you look to for friendship, and you look to them to sort of follow the example. Because anywhere we go, we can always find somebody more spiritual than I am. And those are the folks we need to migrate. We need to bring them to us because that other crowd, they'll bring you low. They'll bring you down. And if you're not careful, you'll be the one that stands out. And then all of a sudden you don't want to stand out and you become like them. And you're losing the battle. So amidst the supervision, the structure, and the studies, stay spiritual. Have a spiritual walk with God. And you can get lost in the crowd. It's easy to do. I don't know how many students Pensacola has in their freshman class, but I'm positive it's many. When I went to Bible college, my freshman class had 1,190. I had one class that had 1,190 students in the class. I thought, my goodness. I didn't think about it then, but I do now. How in the world did the teacher do all that they did? How did they grade all those papers they made us write? I know what they did. Mm-hmm. They looked at them and said, that looks pretty good. But most of them had a staff, and I found out they graded them pretty close sometimes. But it's easy to get lost in the crowd. A lot of people go to a large church. You'll be going to a different church. They have different philosophy than we do in some areas. I mean, that's known. That's understandable. Every church is different. You're going to find that probably the next time you sing I'll Fly Away will be here. It won't be there. All three of the songs we sung tonight, Pensacola wouldn't dare sing those. That's just their way. And if that's their way, that's fine. I'm under their authority, so I'll take that supervision, that instruction. But keep your walk with God personal between you and the Lord, because it's very, very important. And those things that we do for the Lord, you'll find that there's opportunities there in churches. You'll find there's opportunity to serve the Lord. And even though it's not home and mom and dad's not around and people I know are not here, get involved in the things of God, because there's a future out there ahead that God can use us. And then all of these things, we will find that when you receive these instructions, you will receive strength. And just be determined. Oh, I can't make this class. Just be determined I'm going to make this class. I'll never pass it. Just be determined you are going to pass it. And you'll find strength in spiritual things. And find strength in what the Lord has given you, not just at college. And by the way, when I went to college, my college classes did not do anything for me. I want to say this right. It did not do anything for me as far as what I believed, because I already knew what I believed. And I was in a church that taught what we believe, and we've tried to do that here. And I don't think you'll have any troubles with what you believe, because you have had that, and college just will help you have a foundation to build upon what you believe. The best thing that college did for me was it taught me how to study. I thought I knew, but I didn't know how to study, It taught me how to study. Of course, we're in different. You're not going to be a preacher. You've been taught better. But learn to take notes and learn to study, and it'll help you when the test time comes. And you just have strength. And when it's hard and difficulty, just pray to the Lord, and He'll help you, and He'll give you that strength. Because there is a sure future. That's number six. There's a sure future out there. Now, I want to say this, and I hope everybody will understand. You have plans. You want to be a lawyer. Is that correct? All right. That's good. The Lord knows we need Christian lawyers. That's well and good, and I thank the Lord for that. But there's a sure future for you, Megan. And always leave your heart open to God's leadership. Always leave your excuse me. Always leave your heart open to where God would place you. And Megan said, "I don't know how where all I'll end up in different school, but she said, I know one thing: God wants me in Pensacola for at least the first year." Well, we have to take it year by year, and leave your heart open to the leadership of the Lord. You may want to be a Christian lawyer, but God may have different plans. I certainly didn't have plans to do what I'm doing. And I was going to do something totally, totally different. But just leave your heart open. Never close your mind and say, this is what I'm going to do regardless. Because God knows He knows the end from the beginning. And the best place in your life is in the will of God. The perfect will of God. I had to, when I was in college, I still have the little old book. It's about that thick. And it's yellow, and probably if you read it now, it'd fall apart. But it made a strong impression on me, and it's just entitled The Perfect Will of God. And that's the best place you can live, in God's perfect will. That's the safest place you can live. If somebody said, well, I sure wouldn't want to be a missionary going to the dark continent of Africa. Well, if that's where God wants you, you'd be safer there than on the concrete streets of America. Wherever God wants you is the best place and the most safe place that you could live. And so there's a sure future. It may be as a lawyer, and I pray that the Lord would help you to do that. It may be that, but if it's not, then keep your heart open and let the Lord do what He wants to do. And then lastly, I left this for last on purpose. We've had supervision, structure, studies, spirituality, strength, and a sure future. And that last one is sadness. It's reality. Sadness, one of the most difficult things you'll ever do is leave home. One of the most difficult things that your mom and dad will ever experience is you leaving home, and then we'll not talk about it later. Because it'll happen again. That's life. But receive instruction. Just remember, when you get homesick, they're making sick. One of the hardest times that my daughter had when she went off to college was that she wanted to come back home for camp meeting. She'd never missed one. And it worked out where she couldn't, because they had their finals. You don't miss finals. And she called one day, and she was just, I mean, she was beside herself. And then Dad got beside himself. And I told Sharon, I said, I'm just going to go get her. If Sharon would give me the keys, I probably would have. But that had been the worst thing in the world for me to do for her. Now, that's what she wanted. She said, Dad, would you just come and get me? I don't like it here. I'm done. I don't care anything about it. I want to come home. And that was real. And, buddy, when you hear your daughter say that, you know what you want to do? You want to get in the car and just go get her. Whatever she's bought, whatever she's got there, just leave it. You don't want it anyway. Just bring her home. But that wasn't the best thing for her. And I had to blame it on Sharon. She said, no, you're not going to do that. And so I didn't. And she stuck it out. But, well, there's a lot of sadness. Tonight when we go have fellowship, there'll be a lot of tears. That's normal. And I've learned a long time ago, don't be ashamed of your tears. I cry easy. And I've told the story before. There was a time in my life I didn't cry, because I asked God to take them away, and He did. And that wasn't good either. Cold-heartedness is not good. So don't be ashamed of your tears. Don't be ashamed of your sadness with your family. And don't be ashamed of it with your friends, because I want you to know, Megan, that we're praying for you. And that we will help you any way that we can. And we'll stand behind you. And you've been a faithful young lady in school, study, did well, graduated this past May, graduated with honors, and so we are proud of you and thank the Lord for you. And you're entering a new phase, a new part of your life, and nobody likes change when everything changes around us. So I pray tonight that we will, all of us, will receive instruction, that we'll take counsel. And there may be times that Larry and Teresa just needs somebody to talk to. Don't wait for them to call you, because more than likely they won't. Just call and say, hey, how you doing? Let's go out and get something to eat. I mean, it's almost like a death in the family. It's hard. It's sadness. And so may we all receive this instruction of what God has for us. I know that's a little different than normally, but as much as I know I preached this morning in the will of God, I know this tonight was what I needed to do. And because I tried to work up some different things and said, no, that's not what you do on Sunday night. And then I have a missionary come and say, boy, this is really not what you do on Sunday night. But we're church family, and we are family. And so when you leave out Saturday morning, Friday night, whatever it might be, just know that our prayers are with you. And prayers are with Larry and Teresa. And can't forget Bud and Clarice either, because it's tough on them. The grandchildren are just as tough as others, maybe worse. And so we will certainly be praying one for another. I pray God would bless all the efforts. And I pray, God, the best upon you and His blessings. And thank the Lord that He has given you ability to do these things and desire to serve the Lord. Above everything else, serve the Lord. And that is should be our desire as a Christian. Well, let's stand together. I've said all I need to say.